Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, still broadcasting live from Pagosa Springs, Colorado. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 4th, 2011, episode 199, sponsored by Horseshow.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
All right, everybody, I'm still here. Glenn, I know you're worried sick about me, but I have something that I'm going to do for you right now, and I would like for you to listen to this, and then, hold on, that's a bottle of water. Ah, I just took my pill. I made it.
For everybody that missed yesterday's show, that would be the pill that she just took.
Yeah.
Not a pill, the pill. And the reason was you went on a train ride with five little kids under 4 years old.
Yes, I did. We went on to, actually it was in New Mexico, because Pagosa Springs is close to New Mexico. I really need to study my geography better, because I'm like, did that sign just say New Mexico? How did we get here? Like, duh, it's like 10 minutes from here. So we get to New Mexico. We get on this train. Now, mind you, it was like an hour ride to get there, actually. And get on this train, and we're in assigned seats for about 2.5 hours there to this little shack where you then had lunch, and then you got back on the train and rode 2.5 hours back, and the whole lunch stop was an hour and a half. So we're talking several hours with lots of children. And actually, the scenery was fantastic. It was absolutely beautiful. The kids were very well behaved. It was fantastic, and I slept most of the entire ride. I did. I don't know what it was. I just got on the train, and it just, the little chugga, 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 and the little swaying motion put me right to sleep.
So you didn't see much of the scenery, in other words.
Well, I woke up when I was nudged, like, hey, look, there's a deer. And I wake up, and I go, oh, okay. And start sawing logs again.
You're such a horse girl.
I just, when you sit down, I'm sorry, when I sit down for that long doing nothing, I totally am going to fall asleep. It's just ingrained in me to take a nap when I've stopped.
You're one
moving.
Of those people that can actually sleep on the plane, aren't you?
No, because it's uncomfortable. However, I did lay myself out across the seats in the train. and also the fact that they did serve Bloody Marys on the train as well really sealed the deal for the nap.
The truth comes out.
But it was actually a really good time, family fun, and I'm glad I did it. Would I do it again? Let's just say that Chad and I are having a date night tonight. We are
nope,
venturing out in the Colorado wilderness after the show, and we will be doing it alone. It is now alone time day.
Well, then in that case, I'm really glad that you just took that pill. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Exactly. Thanks. Okay, good.
All right, Jennifer, let's go on before I get in trouble.
Too late. On today's Thursday Horseshow.com edition, we will be visiting the Eastern Bloc today and learning a little bit about what it's going to be like to go to college there from a very good friend of Glenn and I's, and just got accepted to school someplace that's not going to be in Kansas anymore. Let's just put it that way. And today, in the dramatic reading of Black Beauty, things are going pretty well for our hero, which makes me pretty sure that a dramatic downturn in his luck is just around the corner. Stay tuned and find out if this is the day.
That's funny. All right. Thank you, Jennifer. My Daily Winnie today goes out to our faithful listener, Abby, who posted on her Facebook. I love Facebook. It's like being a voyeur, a legal one. And, you know, the reason I'm highlighting this today is because it just goes to show you that you don't have to go to a fancy show. You don't have to win big ribbons or tens of thousands of dollars to have those moments. And we've all had them when you're riding. And she wrote on her Facebook page yesterday, I'm going to embarrass her here a little bit, she said, that was the most fantastic, amazing ride ever. We cantered for the first time during 15 minutes of arena work. Then we hit the trails. I found the most amazing trail, and there were fields with purple flowers and all kinds of butterflies everywhere. We saw two deer leaping in the brush 10 feet away. We also trotted and cantered and hand galloped, and it reminded me of my cross-country days. I love my horse more and more every time. You know, it doesn't have to be a planned thing. It can be one of those spontaneous trail rides that you just will remember forever.
Abby, reading that makes me want to get back on my horse today, you know, because that's the kind of thing we ride for, is that kind of magical day where you get on the horse and you don't really have a plan, but you do something very exciting, you see some very beautiful stuff, and that is the reason why we all throw our leg on board the horse, you know, it's just for that kind of moment there. So, Abby, we're jealous and glad that you had it yesterday.
And, you know, the butterflies are out. When I take the dog for a walk here, you go out to the barn, the little tiny yellow butterflies that are very pretty, there's millions of them out right now here in Kentucky, and it is so beautiful. So I know exactly what she is talking about.
Yeah.
Well, here is your Daily Winnie.
Our butterflies in Phoenix this time of year are crickets. So... enjoy those butterflies. We have crickets and scorpions. You guys realize, remember last weekend I was supposed to go horse shopping with one of my students, Dr. Joanna Norman. I'm going to call you out. Because we actually never got to go see the horse. One of the ones that we're going to go see, the 18-2 hand gelding, was sold. And then the other one was just a major scheduling conflict. He's in Tucson, so he's like 2.5 hours away. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Joanna, because this is just, well, it's a little bit ridiculous, but it's also just making something happen. I get this series of text messages yesterday after I return from the train ride, which had absolutely zero bars, of course. So, here's the first message. Hey, can we use your trailer on Sunday? Then the next one. We're going to bring the horse back for a month. Then the next one. If I don't buy, she won't give me $100 for gas. If I do buy, we can take my truck for the wear and tear, and I'll buy the diesel. Also, how early can we leave on Sunday to go get him? If you don't have to teach a lesson, can we go get up at 5 a.m. and go get him? Okay, I would like you to point out we've never even seen this horse. She has just basically purchased a horse that we have never seen. And she's taking him on at least a month's trial for the bargain price of $100 in gas. So, Joanna, honey.
That sounds like a really bad ad.
This is not the way that we buy horses. We do not go horse shopping and take them home with us before we've even seen them. First of all, you just shot to heck all your bargaining power. We're just going to can we keep him, please? No. This is what happens when I go out of town. She just lost her mind. Oh, my God, I have to have him. We have to have him. He's, like, perfect in the ad. So we're going to take him. So can we use your truck?
Hasn't she ever listened to our really bad ad segment? You know how these people really are.
Now, to piece this together for you, this is the same woman who bought the horse in Fresno, California from the Nightmare Barn.
Ah, got it.
So she get, God love her. That's what I'm supposed to be paid for, is to take care of the emotional aspect of it.
Now, wait a minute, Jamie. Just wait. You are partially culpable for the horse from the Nightmare Barn. If I remember right, you guys all kind of formed an impromptu consortium in order to get said horse away from said Nightmare Barn. Hmm?
Yes, and Jennifer... I would. I guess it is this time where I should update everybody on the big gray horse that we bought in Fresno. He will now be coming to live with me.
Didn't work out so good.
I think the pot is calling the kettle black here, Jamie Jennings.
However, we're supposed to be a team, and I did text her back, and I said, if that horse takes one lame step, I am not putting him on my trailer. If there's anything wrong with this horse, we are not taking him home, because that was the big nightmare mess that we brought home from Fresno. She just couldn't text it back with a smiley face. Good call. So, yes, totally, I'm the same kind of person. However, this time, Jennifer, I was like, we are going to find you the right horse. We are not going to go, well, maybe we can fix him. We are not going to do that. We are going to get the perfect horse. What do I do? I get a text message. We got him! We haven't even seen him yet.
I know somebody else who shops that
way.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. So Joanna gets my daily Winnie. I know it's kind of a long story, but short story long. There you go. We're getting a horse on Sunday.
Will you even be home by Sunday? Are you going home by Sunday?
Yeah. We're going to get up really early Saturday morning and drive to the Grand Canyon and then drive home. So we'll be home by Saturday night.
So what are you doing? What's on the agenda for vacation today? By the way, Jamie will be not here tomorrow. I've actually told her that she really needs to take a day off and sleep in. So she won't be around tomorrow morning. Jennifer and I will be holding down the fort along with our friend Reese Goff with Stanfield. So she'll be here tomorrow. So what's on the plan
really
today? What are you doing with the children this afternoon?
Well, first of all, let me thank you, by the way, for making me take a day off. I really appreciate it. And tomorrow we'll have a little celebration over here on our end, because tomorrow is our 200th episode. Did you realize that? 200
right.
episodes. That's really
awesome. And you're
awesome.
Not going to be here.
And I won't be here. That's okay. I'll enjoy it from my bed.
We'll celebrate on 201.
Yeah,
Monday.
Exactly. Today's plans just include, actually, we're going to walk out to a creek and do a little bit of fly fishing and hike around and just enjoy the scenery, because it is just absolutely gorgeous here and the weather is perfect. So just going to go spend some time with my husband.
Wait a minute. I'm still stuck on the fly fishing part, because I, you know, I've spent some time with you, and there is one thing that I'm going to just throw across all horse women, and that is they are a little bit klutzy. How do you exactly fly fish without killing yourself or everybody else in the stream?
Now, see, this is a
road
I did not
think
we'd go down.
How many hooks have you had in the back of your head or the back of Chad's?
I gotta confess something to you, Glenn. I actually have taken fly fishing lessons.
Really?
I didn't want to get into it today.
And the instructor is still alive?
We actually did it in Piedmont Park in Atlanta, Georgia. There was like a million acres, so we were able to spread out considerably. But yes, I have taken fly fishing lessons. This is something that nobody knows about me, and I did go on a fly fishing expedition in Alaska. So I'm actually a pretty good fly fisherman, no doubt. But I
want to see a picture of you and a fish. We better be darn well seeing it. You better be fly fishing until you catch a fish, so we can get a picture for tomorrow or for that you post on our Facebook page, okay? I want to see a picture.
Okay. If I don't catch one, I'll send you some pictures from my Alaska trip. How about that?
Or just a picture of you in the water, in your waders up to... By the way, most waders would come up to your shoulders.
That has been a problem. That has been a problem.
You would swim in most waders.
Listen, I don't want to get into my fishing trip. Let's get back to you. Let's get back to our horse radio network show. Okay.
Well, let's not get back to horses quite yet, because I have something to talk to you about. So last night, we go to dinner to a very famous, we won't mention the name of the place. So we go to a dinner to a very popular place here in Lexington that we go to often, and you know it well.
Okay.
And we go to dinner there, and there's one thing that's always bothered Jennifer and I, and this, maybe I should have Jennifer describe this. There's one thing that's always bothered Jennifer and I at restaurants, and that is, and I used to work at a restaurant, so I know how they work. And that is the towels they wipe off the table with, they use all darn day. So, you know, by the time they're wiping a table off at the end of the day, that towel has more germs on it than the table did to begin with.
Oh, it's
well,
in a big, mess of, hand towels that are in a bucket. I mean, unless they bring some spray over, it's gross.
Yeah, well, Jennifer, you want to describe this and see if we were the only ones that shouldn't have been grossed out or if we should, in fact, write to the manager today? Go ahead, Jennifer.
Well, we go into said local diner, very popular spot, and we get there at rush hour, so the place is just mobbed. And it's a very tiny place, and it's jammed full of tables, so it's like no elbow room and everything. And we get shown to our table in reasonably short order. And we have ourselves a seat, and right next to us, of course, it's a very popular family spot as well. Several families with lots of tiny children who are just all sugared up, loud. Okay, we're going to do
that. And you know how I love that, Jamie.
Yeah.
Well, and you know how I'm living that right now, right?
Yeah.
So, I get it.
It's all hands on deck.
I was
for the
taking
staff.
A birth control pill at the end of the night.
Going for some couch.
But that isn't what the problem was.
That's not what the problem was. But it was all hands on deck. The wait staff was helping, the kitchen staff, and everybody was going in every direction trying to keep things running smoothly. And the waitresses always run around with that towel attached to themselves so that they bust the tables as well as wait at that particular restaurant. So they clear it off and they give the table the wipe off with is basically a snotty rag. And I'm kind of watching the goings on here. We're waiting for our food and waitresses flying by, wiping off tables, zhuzhing chairs. And one of the staff comes over, zings out their snot rag, wipes off the table, which is just covered with liquid because the glasses are sweating. It's an old building and really doesn't have good air conditioning, so lots of condensation puddles from all the glassware, and she's wiping it off. And then she takes the rag, and she kind of folds it in half long ways and smooths it nice and neat, reaches around behind her and starts to walk away from the table, and she shoves the towel down in her butt crack.
Into her pants.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are we the only ones that were appalled by that?
Okay, is this, let's take it a step further before we back up. Is this your waitress? Is this your server?
The person in question was a member of the staff, but not a waitress or waiter. But it was a case of everybody was helping. There was kitchen staff serving food. There were people from the front of the house seating, doing all kinds of stuff. So it was everybody doing everything. But the person who did this normally carries around their slimy table rag. And I started to look around the building and say, oh, my goodness, this isn't company policy, is it?
That's disgusting. Oh, my gosh. From that point on, I would be like, just hand me my plate. Don't even put it down on the table. And that reminds you don't let your fork touch the table.
I did notice something, too. Jennifer was... At that point, she backed off the table. She had been leaning on the table, and I noticed she never touched the table after that. Sorry.
No doubt. That's disgusting. She shoved the dish rag in her – first of
in
all,
pants.
The fact that it's wet and slimy and germy from all those kids, and then she shoves it in her butt crack.
And you know how everybody how the girls wear low-rise, and they're all college girls there. So it was low-rise jeans, and she did. And, I thought maybe she put it in her belt. I was thinking belt.
Glenn didn't believe me. He didn't believe me.
That is horrible. Wow. So what I would do is I would definitely go there, contact the manager, and you probably get a free meal out of it because you were just absolutely horrified. Say, I was so horrified, I couldn't even finish. We had to leave. It was so gross. And then they'll probably give you a coupon or something, and they'll fix the problem because that is completely unacceptable. I would be like, I would stop her. I'd be like, oh, my God, come here. You have a towel in your butt. I don't know if you know this, but you have a towel shoved in your butt right now.
The other one that bothers me, too, speaking while we're on this topic, we do Dunkin' Donuts. When you grow up in the Northeast, you have to do Dunkin' Donuts at least once a week. It's required. I think it's a law, actually. So when Dunkin' Donuts moved into Lexington here, every Saturday morning we get Dunkin' Donuts. Well, sometimes I go pick them up for Jennifer. And almost every time I walk in there, one of the employees is sitting on the counter where they serve the donuts.
Oh, come on, people.
Now, yeah, I know.
Just to also let you be aware of something that is horrifying and disgusting, just because these two things really bother me. First of all, an ATM pin pad. Keep in mind that nobody has clean hands when they type in their PIN number. The other thing that's really disgusting is women's purses. The bottom of a woman's purse, because sometimes it gets sat on the ground. It gets sat on the ground in the bathroom. And then they will take their purse and put their purse up on that Dunkin' Donuts counter while they rifle through it for their credit card. So not only are you getting the lady's booty that's been sitting up on the counter, also all the fecal matter that's on the bottom of a woman's purse that is then put on the counter. They've tested this. It is a proven theory.
Wait 1 minute. I don't know about what bathrooms you go to, but I have not been in a lady's room in a long, long time that has any fecal matter on the floor.
Well, it's got to have germs, though.
You know what, Jennifer, do you ever use the hand dryer, you know, when you push the button and the hot air comes out? Because it's blowing fecal matter back onto your hands, just so you know.
Got it.
It's everywhere.
Got it.
It's everywhere.
Got
Don't
it.
Use those dryers. Wipe your hands on your pants.
I think you're still in shock from the whole episode with the kid yesterday.
That was a lot of fecal matter.
All right,
that was everywhere.
Change. I think I am going to drop an email over to that restaurant today. I happen to know the lady in the office there, and I'm definitely going to do that because I just think it needs to be addressed and not happen again.
Yeah.
Let's go on here. Sorry about that, everybody. I just had to vent about that particular topic. We did finish, and our food was very good, so I will say that. It's always very good there. It's just, Anyway, I wish that, you know, the only way to solve that, though, would be to use paper towels, right? Because If you're, and that's so expensive, which is why restaurants don't do it. If they had to paper towel every single table, so that's why they don't do it.
You just need to use a disinfectant spray. You just have to spray the table off and then wipe it down, and it's a disinfectant. I would assume would do better. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Let's go on. Hey, how about something else fun, and then we'll get on to our first guest and start talking about horses here. But in the meantime, we love to talk about movies on the show. And I might be going to see one tonight, actually. I'm not sure which one yet. We might go see Horrible Bosses tonight, which I've heard is really good. So we'll see how that is. But the latest list comes out every year, and this is done by Forbes magazine, comes out every year, is the highest paid actors and actresses list. So are you ready for the highest paid actresses? We'll start with them. By the way, you're going to see a definite disparity in the sexes here.
Of course.
Yes, of course. What you want to start with, the women or the men?
Let's start with the women and go from,
right.
Is it fifth, like the top five? Go from five to one.
So, So who would you think would be in that top five list this year?
Top five women would be Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Angelina Jolie. I think there's some young chick that's probably on the list.
You got three of them right there.
Okay. Really? Okay.
So good job.
So there you go.
Yeah, good job. Well, coming
not
in
Meg
at
Ryan
about,
anymore. Yeah.
Just, no, she actually is not even on the top 10 at this point. So number five is Cameron Diaz, coming in about 20 million.
Okay.
And she was in a couple of movies this year and stuff, so that's why I think she was number five this year. Reese Witherspoon, of course, you nailed that on the head at about 20 million. Jennifer Aniston was number three, of course.
Wow.
And she's, because there isn't a romantic comedy movie made in America that doesn't have Jennifer Aniston. Actually, I'm shocked that she's not number one above all the men, because she is in every frickin' movie that comes out.
I think it's perfectly appropriate, because she took over for Meg Ryan. It used to be Meg Ryan, now it's Jennifer Aniston.
And by the way, I'm not arguing, especially when they show the naked back shot. So, I'm all free there, Jennifer. I think you should earn more. She was in the $20 million range, too. At $30 million, we sort of had a close tie for second and third. Second was Sarah Jessica Parker, who has been in a bunch of movies this year. Yeah, but she was in a bunch of movies this year, and she's asking for a lot of money now.
Now, are these per movie that they're getting?
No,
or
this would be their income for the year, and it doesn't include any endorsements or anything else. This is just their movie income.
Sarah Jessica Parker, number two.
I know, and then how about Angelina Jolie, of course, is number one. Which you can sort of guess. But you know what? It came, her income actually this year came from a movie a movie Salt and the Tourist, which you wouldn't exactly think were the biggest box office hits.
Well, I think they bank on her, and I can't say anything, because I would never. I haven't seen either one of those movies, and I don't think I'd go to the theater to see a movie she was starring in by herself. I don't like her that much.
Yeah,
she's
I'm
a wife-stealing, husband-stealing wench.
I'm kind of with you there, actually. Aniston had her share of non-blockbusters this year, too. One called Just Go With It that had Adam Sandler in it. And, you know, she just had a bunch of ones. The problem with her movies lately is they have not been box office sensations. But you know what? She still demands a high dollar, and people are paying it. But then Witherspoon didn't have a real big one either. It was called How Do You Know? But, again, she cashed in $28 million.
She did Water for Elephants, too.
Yeah, and they don't have that one on the list. I don't know if that stopped. It wasn't included in this particular. This one goes from May to May. So I don't know how that worked. But rounding out the top 10 were Julia Roberts, Kristen Stewart, Katherine Heigl. That was actually for her. She directed a couple of movies. And Meryl Streep was number 10. Sandra Bullock was in there as well.
Okay.
So all the usuals. Now, number one man surprised me. So do you have a guess on who the number one guy was? I had a guess, and I was absolutely shocked that it was not that person.
Number one, I would say you've got, what is that guy, Daniel Craig, seems to be in a lot of movies, the Bond guy. You've also got Will Smith, and Johnny Depp. It's got to be Johnny Depp.
Well, that's what I thought. It had to be Johnny Depp, right? Not even close.
Really?
Not even close. He came in the number two spot behind Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yay! Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you had a date with him one night. He just didn't
know
it.
I love him. He calls me all the time. It's kind of stressful. I'm like, dude, Leo, I'm married. Stop calling. And he's like, but I have to have you. And I'm like, Leo, you know, I've got a husband. It's really inappropriate that you're stalking me all the time. So, you know, I'm just going to have to leave it at that.
Well, he came in with a cool... Now, keep in mind that Angelina Jolie was at $30 million. Leonardo came in at $77 million in earnings. And that was from his movie Inception. Inception did very well, which I haven't rented yet. I really wouldn't want to see that.
It's awesome.
And that's one of the reasons that he went over the top at $77 million. So next was Johnny Depp at $50 million, of course, with Pirates and everything else he's done. You would have thought Johnny Depp... I would have thought Johnny Depp would have been in the $150 million range, you know, just out of the ballpark earnings. But,
yeah, and he's going to be Tonto in the Lone Ranger. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and Adam Sandler was number three, came in at $40 million from his movie Grown Ups, and also he was in the Jennifer Aniston Just Go With It. And then Will Smith clocked in at number four with $36 million. And Will Smith always, you know, he can just ask whatever he wants. By the way, part of that income consisted of his advance fee for Men in Black 3. They're making one.
Woohoo!
I love
awesome.
That Men in Black series. And then rounding out the list were Tom Hanks, Ben Stiller, Robert Downey Jr., Mark Wahlberg, and Tim Allen, surprisingly. And you know why? Buzz Lightyear. He made $22 million for doing the voice for Buzz Lightyear.
Wow. Wow. That's good money. Good money if you can get it. Well, I can't argue. First of all, we all know that men get paid a lot more money for the same exact job that women do, and you can't argue with that. However, I can argue with the fact that I will go see Leonardo DiCaprio, Johnny Depp, and Will Smith a million times before I will go see Angelina Jolie or Sarah Jessica Parker starring in a movie. So, not to hate on my women, because I love Jennifer and Reese and Cameron. However, the men win in that department for me.
I got to say, though, it all depends for me which one I'd rather go see on the level of nudity in the movie. And if Jennifer Aniston is anything close to nude, I'm in. Just count me in. Just saying.
You're not probably actually even looking at her naked back, okay? So it's probably a stunt pack. But you're
all
okay.
Well, our guest is ready. Let's do our commercial here. Why don't you tell us about horseshow.com, and then we'll get to Rochelle.
All right. At horseshow.com, you can now compete online just like you were at a regular horse show. Get judged by the top judges, and you get the judges' comments. All you have to do is upload your video and enter a class at horseshow.com. It's simple and economic, and it's an easy way for you to compete with your horse without having to pack the trailer, unpack the trailer, spend all the money on the fees. You can also kind of win money on horseshow.com, which doesn't happen very often in the real world. It's also a great way to prepare for your next show or to track your progress during the off season. Horseshow.com features real horse shows for multiple breeds and disciplines. Pretty much if you ride it, it's on there. It's judged by nationally accredited judges. So upload, enter, and win anytime at horseshow.com.
Thank you to Horseshow.com for their support of Horses in the Morning. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. Actually, this show is about horses. You wouldn't know it from the first half hour, but we're getting there now. And we met somebody and have been friends with somebody for years since we lived in Massachusetts. She used to work with Jennifer at the Hunt Club, and she's a terrific horsewoman. She has been a groom to some of the top drivers in the world. She's been on our show before. She's charming, adorable, and cute. And that's Rochelle Stabler. Hello, Rochelle.
Hello, Glenn. That was a nice introduction.
I know. Didn't I flirt and butter you up better than anybody?
You did. You're very sweet. You're a good liar as well.
So, Rochelle, we're having you on because a little while back we got this notice from you that, and you've been going to school for what seems like 150 years, by the way. I wanted to add that in there. But you've got your degree now, and you're going to go to vet school. And you told us, I got accepted to vet school. We were so excited. We thought maybe you're going to be down here in Kentucky, or you're going to be someplace closer to us. But no, you got accepted to vet school in a very interesting place. Tell us about it.
Yep, I am going to Slovakia. I don't know if that's how they pronounce it, but it's going to be how I'm going to pronounce it. So a little Russian accent there, a little European, Eastern European. It's right in the middle of Europe, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, you're going to have to learn some Slovak, I think.
Yeah.
So now,
hey, I already know two languages.
So why Slovakia? What, English and British?
No, English and American. Come on.
Oh, sorry. So why Slovakia?
They let me in. They said yes.
Oh.
No, it's actually multiple reasons. If I go and get credited in a European school, it means I can practice in England, which I'd really like to do. And then I just come back here, take a foreign graduate's exam, and I could practice here too. But a couple of reasons. My dad has been sick, and it just turned up at the right time. It was like, okay, I can go back to Europe, have a great time. And one of the big things is it's horse heaven. It's bordered by Hungary, Poland, Austria. There's more horses there than people. So that's the reason I'm going.
speaking of people, it's not very big. There's less people in Slovakia than New York City. So it's, you know, population-wise. Now, will you be in one of the major cities? Is this school in one of the major? And have you seen it yet, or did you do this sight unseen?
Yeah, sight unseen. There's a great chat room out there, and I've been emailing people. And they have a video up, and you can... So I Googled everything and had a look. Yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it seems a bit pricey to just be like, I'm going to go check out the campus and fly to Slovakia. But, you know, I got to say that when I heard that you were going to Slovakia, my husband is like, you know, he knows everything about geography in every country and what's been going on in every country. And I said, honey, is Slovakia dangerous? And he's like, well, not anymore, but I certainly wouldn't go there on vacation. So
really? It's a huge vacation spot. It's beautiful. You've got the Tatras Mountains there and everything. Yeah, it's gorgeous. Big ski country.
Oh, now, is it located in one of the cities?
Yes, it's in, I got to pronounce it correctly. I think it's pronounced Košice, which is spelled K-O-S-I-C-E, and it's the second largest city, Bratislava being the capital.
And are you going to be there for 4 years? Is that what it will take?
Hopefully I'll be there the whole 4 years, but I've heard that the second year is pretty tough. So if I survive the second year, then I'll be there for all four, hopefully.
Now, will you be living on campus, or will you be living with people, or don't you know where you're living?
Yeah, that's the great part. I'm going to be living in the dorms. I'm going to be back with the 20-year-olds. It's going to be awesome.
Party.
We should say that Rochelle is not 20 anymore.
Mm-mm, nope, not anymore. 29.
I don't know
come on.
Could do that. That would be tough to go back and live with the kids again in the dorms. That would be tough.
I know. Well, it'll be fun. It'll be an experience. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I got to ask then, okay, do you mind if I ask how old you are?
No, not at all. I don't mind. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you expect me to answer? Oh, I'm sorry.
I know you're trying to be funny, but I'm kind of inspired that you're going back to vet school as a second career is what it sounds like. I mean, again, if you're 23, that's not the case. But if you're, you know, I'm 33 and I would love to go back to vet school. So, you know, I'm just kind of inspired that you would choose to do that and live in dorms in another country far, far away. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I'm 41, actually. So it is a bit of a change. And so one of the reasons I picked this school, too, is that if I go to a U.S. school, we're talking $250,000 worth of debt. And if I only have 20, 25 years worth of work left in me, that's not a lot of time to pay out those bills.
And you know, what a lot of people don't realize is when vets get out of vet school, they don't make anything. You make, as a starting vet, you're lucky to make $40,000 a year. And you know, that sounds like a lot to some people, but you do have $250,000 in debt, and you're making $40,000 a year. It's not like coming out as a neurosurgeon, you know?
Exactly, yep. Yeah, and that $250,000 is accruing interest as you go, even though it's school debt, there it's a little less. But and for me, I'm going to have to take out personal loans because they don't give you school loans for foreign countries, so...
How much is vet school over there?
It's going to be around $50,000 all in told for my 4 years.
Wow, that is a big difference.
Yeah, that's the tuition. Yeah, that's a big difference, isn't it? Yeah, and so for me, it's like doable. I can do that.
You're going to discount vet school in Slovakia at the age of 41. You're my hero.
Yep.
Now, was Slovakia one of the old Russian countries?
Yes. They were part of Czechoslovakia. They were all together. That was one big Vakia.
Isn't there a Slovenia too?
There is. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's Slovenia. And the reason we know Slovenia is because all of the very, very, very pretty girls that worked on the cruise ship on our last cruise, the blonde, pretty girls that were all serving you drinks and everything, were all from Slovenia. And I said, I really need to go visit Slovenia. I told Jennifer the next trip has to be to Slovenia.
Yep. I've heard that all the girls there, all the guys are like old and ugly, and all the girls are like 100 pounds and tall and blonde. So, you know me, I'm going to fit in perfectly.
Yeah, the only way you're getting blonde is dyeing it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dear.
Well, congratulations, number one. Will you join us occasionally? We can Skype in to you and get updates on how it's going in Slovakia.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. I might be in tears, but, you know, it'll be okay.
Now, the school isn't English, right? Or it's not Slavic, is it?
Oh, yeah, no, big point. Yep, it's all in English. There's about 4 or 5 English language courses, veterinary ones, out there, and they're getting bigger. Because they're finding, these are poorer countries, so they're finding that the Europeans, it's full of Brits, Israelis, there's some Swedes, and if you can't get into your home country, and most people, like Ireland only has one vet school, and there's a lot of people in Ireland that, you know, it's an animal country, want to go to vet school. So these guys are getting good money, and they already have their own vet system already set up, and it's all EU stuff, so it's equivalent to everything that you would do in England, so...
Interesting. Well, good luck with it. We expect to hear some Slavic next time we talk to you.
Okay, I'll find a local boy. Isn't that
apparently
the best way to learn a language?
I guess so.
I was just thinking about all the young Irishmen who are going to be heading over and speaking in that language. Have them teach you some of that Irish brogue. There you go.
Those Irish boys are dangerous. You got to stay away from them. Ooh,
trouble.
Yeah.
She's had experience with them before, obviously. Hey, are you going to be doing anything with the horses? Any more grooming for drivers, or are you going to just concentrate on school?
Well, while I'm in school, no, I won't be doing anything but school. Okay. But next week I'm going to Walnut Hill, so that should be fun.
Oh, cool. That's a big show for the drivers.
It is. Pretty pretty.
Cool. All right, and don't forget, we have a new driving radio show. You have to listen in there.
I know. I'm very excited. I've heard already. I'm very excited. It's great.
Good.
We need more drivers.
All right. Well, thanks. Good luck. And when do you leave? In a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, a couple of weeks. Yep.
All right. Have fun. We'll look forward to hearing from
you.
Thanks,
guys. Thanks, Rachel. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right,
bye-bye. Bye.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I would not have the guts to do that in a million years.
Wow, you know, you told me the angle of this interview was that she's going to vet school in Slovakia, but the true exciting part of it is, like I said, she's, you know, going back to vet school as a second career, going to be living in the dorms with a bunch of kids, and she's 41 years old. Like, to me, that's inspiring, because I think all of us horsewomen, somewhere in us, would really, really love to be a vet. And that just inspires me to know that, you know, there's people out there that are doing it and that are going back to it. And I think that's awesome. Second career veterinarians, I think, are hungry enough to really want to do a good job.
Well, you know, Jennifer would say the same thing. I bet you, Jennifer, if you had a chance to go back and go to vet school and do that again and had the opportunity to, you would, wouldn't you?
You
love that stuff.
You know something? I was such a crappy student that I would have to completely forget all of my years in school and start afresh emotionally, because I kind of semi despised school when I was there.
That's typical horse girl too.
Yeah.
Now, she has been working hard over the last number of years to get through college. And you're right, this has been a second career. She's been earning her own way. She's lived on her own since she got to the United States probably 10, 12 years ago, I think it was. And she's just done this all herself, and she has worked hard to get accepted into a vet school. So good for her. You said 41. I don't think I'd have the guts to do it.
No, I think it's awesome. I really, really think it's awesome. I think I'm going to have to Google Slovakia vet schools for myself.
Yeah, your husband will love that.
I know. Honey, we're moving to Slovakia.
You can fly over and see me every once in a while in your fancy plane.
Exactly. But, just come on over and visit.
Let's get to our song today, and then we're going to come back with Black Beauty, and then I think we're going to talk a little bit with the Chronicle of the Horse about the Young Rider Championships that just ended here at the Kentucky Horse Park. But first,
okay,
we want to welcome us. Yeah.
What song are you going to play?
I am going to play, that's a good question. I need to find it. I was going to play one we hadn't played in a while, and I'm not finding it, actually. So I uploaded, oh, Life on Planet Cowgirl. I was going to play that because we haven't heard it in a while.
Okay, well, then I won't dedicate that song to Woodburn. I'll pick a different one later. But
okay.
we have to do the news for that one, but Life on Planet Cowgirl is not going to work for that. So go ahead and play the commercial, play the song, and then we'll talk about Woodburn.
Okay.
Nupa Feed Superior Supplements, taking performance to the next level. Does your horse lack focus and willingness to work? Is he or she spooky or nervous when you show or travel poorly? NupaFeed Magnesium Supplement for Horses is your solution for superior calming and focus. NupaFeed products are of the highest grade produced by a human pharmaceutical company, Berlich Farm in Germany. NupaFeed supplements are now available for dogs at NupaFeeddog.com. Find us online at NupaFeedUSA.com or by phone at 941-921-1764.
And that's NupaFeedUSA.com. We really appreciate them being part of the Horse Radio Network. They're really big with the drivers and have now come on as a sponsor with the driving radio show and here at Horses in the Morning as well, and we really appreciate them being part of it. I just hadn't heard this song in a while, and I was feeling like a little Templeton Thompson, Life on Planet Cowgirl.
Dreaming big and working hard and having faith, making sure you make the most of every breath you take, and knowing that today ain't just another day going by. And it's living every moment in the here and now, knowing that there's blue skies back behind the clouds. Never saying never, cause that just ain't how you ride. That's life on Planet Cowgirl. I'm grateful every day that I get to call. Bring on that horizon, shooting for the moon and stars. Heading down the trail, let's travel even though it must be a long and winding rocky road. You ain't scared at all, cause deep inside you know life on Planet Cowgirl. I'm grateful every day that I get to call in my world. There ain't no better place. Fearlessly flying and wholehearted.
That's Templeton Thompson and Life on Planet Cowgirl here on Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by horseshow.com. You know, guys, we love to have a lot of fun and everything, but I just want to send a little love out to Philip Dutton and True Prospect Farm, because he lost his World Equestrian Games and Rolex mount yesterday. Woodburn, who, if you've seen Philip Dutton, you've seen a picture of Woodburn. They've been together for years, and he was just an absolutely phenomenal cross-country machine. Where Philip Dutton and Woodburn might not, after the dressage, not be in the top 10, after cross-country, they would be in second place. Because he just was an absolute cross-country machine. Unfortunately, he had to be euthanized this week after an internal hemorrhage. They are doing a necropsy to ascertain the cause of the internal bleeding. But this horse has competed at Rolex, at the Wegs, at Burley. He's been everywhere, and he is just an amazing horse. So Philip said he's devastated by the loss. He has no doubt that he will never ride a better cross-country horse in my life. To encompass speed, endurance, athleticism, and bravery in one horse is very unique. As a pair, check this out, all those places that I mentioned, and this is what his quote is, as a pair, we never had a cross-country jumping fault, he said in a statement. Many
wow.
times these rides were under, incredible. He says, many times these rides were under difficult circumstances, including a very wet Burley in 2008 and being the anchor ride for the U.S. team at the Wegs last year. Never a cross-country jumping fault. And it's just amazing. So if you do want to see any of the video of Woodburn and remember a little bit, just go to eventingnation.com, because they have done a lot of, like, they put up his Weg ride and they put up a couple of his Rolex rides. And so definitely go check that out and you know, send a big hug up to True Prospect Farm, because, my God, they have had a heck of an awful year with the fire
A lot of people didn't realize when they knew Boyd Martin had a fire that the fire was at Philip Dutton's farm.
Absolutely.
You know, it's called, and people refer to it as Boyd Martin's fire, but it was really Philip Dutton's fire. Boyd had his horses there. And, you know, they just have had some horrible luck. And then between Boyd losing his father and just everything that's been this year has been terrible.
Silva just lost her father. It's really been a black cloud over that place with so many years of just absolute wonderful things happening there. So I know that they're struggling a lot, and to lose Woodburn has got to be just absolutely devastating. He was actually trying to get him. He had taken a little bit of a slower year with Woodburn because he wanted to aim him to the Olympics in 2012. So to lose your Olympic prospect is just got to be devastating. He's only 15 years old. And anyway, Just a tough day, so a big hug goes out to them. Now, I do want to give you a little bit of good news as well, because, you know, we've done a lot of talk about Mustangs and the Mustang Monument that's going to go on up in hopefully New Mexico. They're putting it together. Madeline Pickens is overseeing this whole thing. Well, just to let you know, a Nevada couple named Stacy and Charles Mathewson just handed Madeline Pickens $1 million to put towards her Mustang Monument.
$1 million.
Now, this sanctuary that she's doing covers 450,000 acres, including grazing rights. So they're trying to get this all up and running. And I'm sure $1 million really goes a long way. So a big shout out and round of applause goes to Stacy and Charles Mathewson of Nevada for giving $1 million to Madeline Pickens, her sanctuary.
And he got his money, actually, through casinos. He had a gaming company. And they did the games. They actually made the games, you know, the slot machines and things like that. So that's where he made his money. So I'm glad to see we have some casino money coming back to the horses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I donated a few of my horse dollars to the casinos. So.
I was going to say that, too. a lot of money changes hands, either horse money to the casino or the casino gives me horse money. It just really depends on the way you look at it or what kind of day you had.
You know, I found out, as I loves the casinos, in the Horse Radio Network family here, I'm calling him out in the carpet, is Alan. He is a blackjack player big time, and he loves going doing gigs and doing rodeo announcing near the casinos. That's where you'll find him after his shows at night. He loves
What's
blackjack.
What's the big rodeo in Vegas in December, the NFR finals or whatever?
National Finals Rodeo, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to have to go this year and take Alan with us because, I know you love the blackjack tables. I love the blackjack tables. And with the three of us there, it would be just too much fun. That would be too entertaining.
Yeah, there ain't no way in heck Jennifer's letting me go with you two to the blackjack table. I don't think that's happening.
Oh, it would be fine. It would be fine.
All right, let's do Black Beauty, and then we're going to get to the Chronicle of the Horse. About the Young Rider Championships. Are you ready? Book open. Page set.
Yes, I am ready.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 36, The Sunday Cab. One morning, as Jerry had put me into the shafts and was fastening the traces, a gentleman walked into the yard. "Your servant, sir," said Jerry. "Good morning, Mr. Barker," said the gentleman. "I should be glad to make some arrangements with you for taking Miss Briggs regularly to church on Sunday mornings. We go to the new church now, and that is rather further than she can walk." "Thank you, sir," said Jerry, "but I have only taken out a 6-day license, and therefore I could not take a fare on a Sunday. It would not be legal." "Oh," said the other, "I did not know yours was a 6-day cab, but of course it would be very easy for you to alter your license. I would see to it that you did not lose by it. The fact is, Mrs. Briggs very much prefers that you drive her." "I should be glad to oblige the lady, sir, but I had a 7-day license once, and the work was too hard for me and too hard for my horses. Year in and year out, not a day's rest, never a Sunday with my wife and children, and never able to go to a place of worship, which I had always been used to do before I took to the driving box. So for the last 5 years, I have only taken a 6-day license, and I find it better all the way around." "Well, of course," replied Mr. Briggs, "it is very proper that every person should have rest and be able to go to church on Sundays. But I should have thought you would not have minded such a short distance for the horse, and only once a day, as you would have the afternoon and evening for yourself, and we are very good customers, you know." "Yes, sir, that is true, and I am grateful for all favors, I am sure, but anything I could do to oblige you or the lady I should be proud and happy to do, but I can't give up my Sundays, sir, indeed I can't. I read that God made man, and he made horses and all other beasts, and as soon as he had made them, he made a day of rest, and bade that all should rest 1 day in 7, and I think, sir, he must have known what was good for them, and I am sure it is good for me. I am stronger and healthier altogether now that I have a day of rest. The horses are fresh, too, and do not wear up nearly so fast. The 6-day drivers all tell me the same, and I have laid by more money in the savings bank than I ever did before. And as for the wife and children, sir, why, heart alive, they would not go back to the 7 days for all they could see." "Oh, very well," said the gentleman. "Don't trouble yourself, Mr. Barker, any further. I will inquire somewhere else." And he walked away. "Well," said Jerry to me, "we can't help it, Jack, old boy. We must have our Sunday." "Polly," he shouted. "Polly, come here." She was there in a minute. "What is it all about, Jerry?" "Why, my dear Mr. Briggs wants me to take Mrs. Briggs to church every Sunday morning. I say I only have a 6-day license. He says, get a 7-day license and I'll make it worth your while. And you know, Polly, they are very good customers to us. Mrs. Briggs often goes out shopping for hours or making calls, and then she pays down a fair and honorable like a lady. There's no beating down or making 3 hours into 2.5 hours, as some folks do, and it's easy work for the horses, not like tearing along to catch trains for people that are always 1/4 hour too late, and if I don't oblige her in this matter, it is very likely we should lose them altogether. What do you say, little woman?" "I say, Jerry," she says, speaking very slowly, "I say if Miss Briggs would give you a sovereign every Sunday morning, I would not have you a 7-day cabman again. We ought to all know what it is to have no Sundays, and now we know what it is like to call them our own. Thank God you earn enough to keep us, though it is sometimes close work to pay for all the oats and hay, the license, and the rent besides. But Harry will soon be earning something, and I would rather struggle on harder than we do than go back to those horrid times when you hardly had a minute to look at your own children, and we could never go to a place of worship together or have a happy, quiet day. God forbid that we should ever turn back to those times. That's what I say, Harry." And that is just what I told Mr. Briggs, my dear, said Jerry, and I mean to stick to, so don't go on and fret yourself, Polly, for she had begun to cry. I would not go back to the old times if I earned twice as much, so that is said, little woman. Now cheer up, I'll be off again to the stand. 3 weeks had passed after this conversation, and no order had come from Mrs. Briggs, so there was nothing but taking jobs from the stand. Jerry took it to heart a good deal, for of course the work was harder for the horse and man, but Polly would always cheer him up and say, never mind, father, never mind. Do your best and leave the rest. Will all come right some day or some night. It soon became known that Jerry had lost his best customer, and for what reason? Most of the men said he was a fool, but two or three took to his part. If working men don't stick to their Sunday, said Truman, they'll soon have none left. It is every man's right and every beast's right. By God's law, we have a day of rest, and by the law of England, we have a day of rest, and I say we ought to hold to the rights these laws give us and keep them for our children. All very well for you religious chaps to talk so, said Larry, but I'll turn a shilling when I can. I don't believe in any religion, for I don't see that you religious people are any better than the rest. If they are not better, put in Jerry, it is because they are not religious. You might as well say that our country's laws are not good because some people break them. If a man gives way to his temper and speaks evil of his neighbor and does not pay his debts, he is not religious. I don't care how much he goes to church. If some men are shams and humbugs, that does not make religion untrue. Real religion is the best and truest thing in the world, and the only thing that can make a man really happy or make the world any better. If religion was good for anything, said Jones, it would prevent you religious people from making us work on Sundays, as you know many of them do, and that's why I say religion is nothing but a sham. Why, if it was not for the church and chapel goers, it would be hardly worth a while coming out on a Sunday. But they have their privileges, as they call them, and I go without. I shall expect them to answer for my soul if I can't get a chance for saving it. Some of these men applauded this till Jerry said, that may sound well enough, but it won't do. Every man must look after his own soul. You can't lay it down at another man's door like a foundling and expect him to take care of it. And don't you see, if you are always sitting on your box waiting for a fare, they will say, if we don't take him, somebody else will, and he does not look for any Sunday. Of course, they don't go to the bottom of it, nor would they see that if they never came for a cab, it would be no use to your standing there. But people don't always like to go to the bottom of things, so it may not be convenient to do it. But if you Sunday drivers would all strike for a day of rest, the thing would be done. And what would all the good people do if they could not get to their favorite preacher, said Larry. 'Tis not for me to lay down plans for other people, said Jerry. But if they can't walk so far, they can go to what is nearer. And if it should rain, they can put on their Macintoshes and go on a weekday, as they do on a weekday. If a thing is right, it can be done. And if it is wrong, it can be done without. It is a good man will find a way. And that is as true for us cabmen as it is for the churchgoers. And Monday, Chapter 37, The Golden Rule. Don't you just love Jerry? I love Jerry Barker.
Apparently the audience does too, because a couple of the listeners had commented on how much Jerry is their hero. So
he's awesome.
Apparently Jerry is very popular.
I'm telling you, it's the story of life when, you know, you're learning a lesson in every chapter of Black Beauty. It's fantastic. God, I love this book. Okay, carry on.
All right, we are coming up to our next segment, which is our weekly chat with the Chronicle of the Horse, with the Chronicle Report. And it looks like we have Lisa back with us, who I know was at the Young Rider Championships down here in Lexington, Kentucky. She didn't call me to come visit her. Could talk
no.
to her about that. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, good morning.
You were down here, and you didn't tell me, and then I didn't get to
know.
See you.
I know. It was
you were
terrible,
hiding.
But...
in the
1,000-degree
heat at the horse park.
Were you around the horse park for Young Riders, Glenn?
No, actually, I avoided it because it was like 110 degrees, and it must have been one of the hottest years they've ever had there.
Yep, it was pretty miserable, and it was miserable for us, and we were just, you know, standing around. So I can't even imagine how it was for the poor riders and horses who actually had to compete in that weather. But it was awful. It was... like, from the time you walk out the door in the morning until you go back inside at night, it didn't seem any cooler.
Now, did they have any problems with the horses and riders with the heat exhaustion and things?
They didn't, but they did something unusual. And we haven't been able to figure out if it's the first year they ever did it, but it's definitely hasn't happened very often. In the dressage competition, riders were actually not allowed to wear their coats.
Ah!
Yeah,
I was
they
wondering
had to
if
wear...
they... if they wage coats for this, because that's, I mean, it's the national championships, but it's also 110 degrees. So you would think wage coats, but who knows?
Yeah, it was kind of unusual because, you know, we sort of got there and the competition had just started and we were saying, oh, how strange. It seems really weird to see people in the dressage ring without their coats. And then we found out that they, not only were they waived, but they actually couldn't even wear them if they wanted to. And most riders said that they appreciated it. A couple of them said it seemed a little weird, like we're at such a big championship and we're basically competing in a polo shirt. But I think most of them were probably pretty grateful for it.
Oh,
yeah,
and
not
imagine.
Only that, that arena is out in the bright sunshine, too. There's
no
shade there.
Yeah. You don't have to tell me.
So how'd it go? Tell us about it.
It was good. I don't know if anyone out there hasn't heard of Young Riders. It's a pretty big deal. It's been around for a while. But this year was kind of exciting because it was the first year for endurance at the same location as the rest of the championships. And the Chronicle didn't really cover the endurance, but it was neat. We, you know, attended the press conference afterwards, and the riders were very excited to be like a real part of the championships because they've had their own championship, but it was the first year it was all in one location. And then there was also dressage, show jumping, eventing, and reining as well. So it started on, I think riders had to be there last Monday, and then the competition itself actually started first thing Wednesday morning and went through Sunday. So it's kind of a long haul, and especially for the show jumpers, they're used to going to a show and maybe jumping a couple rounds. At Young Riders, they have to jump 5 rounds. And even more if they have to have a jump off for either individual or team medals. So some of those horses had jumped 7 rounds by the end of the weekend,
which is
pretty amazing.
And then you add on top of that all the warm up that they had for each one of those 7 rounds. My God, they need some rest.
Yep, I'm sure they were all tired. The riders in the last press conference, you know, they were obviously excited, but they were just sort of staring blankly. And, you know, someone asked, how are you going to celebrate tonight? What are you going to do? And they all said, I think we're going to go home and we're going to go to sleep.
We're going to go to the hotel pool. And then we're gonna chill out there for a bit and then go to bed. Yeah, that sounds like a good time. Yeah, so as far as the young riders, this is the national championships for the young riders. And we were talking with intern Megan last week because, first of all, I'm a little mad that you bailed on this when you could have done a live report from Young Riders last week.
I know. That would have been cool.
I know, right? So what we were trying to figure out is how did the areas work out? Because the Area 5, I think, was kicking butt in dressage for a while. And we were just trying to figure out which states kind of went with which area. Do you have any knowledge about that, or would you have to look it up?
I have a little bit. It's really confusing because dressage works in regions. Show jumping works in zones, and eventing works in areas.
Yeah.
So in terms of knowing which is which, it really confuses me. I know
Like from each one of the, like say a region was Georgia, Florida, and Alabama and Mississippi. So would that, like, did dressage, eventing, and show jumping work together as a team, or was it individualized through the
sport? No, it's all, like, every discipline is individualized. It's pretty much, I guess, the closest thing you can compare it to is it's like the Junior Olympics. It functions like that. Like, they're all there together at the championships, but they're all sort of doing their own things. They're riding for their own country, states, in each individual competition.
Okay, so the dressage riders weren't competing on the same team as the event riders and et cetera.
No, they're all separate. So, you know, on a dressage team, there's maybe a couple teams have 3 riders, but that's not really beneficial because then you don't have a drop score. So there'd be 4 riders from, you know, Region 5 on the same team, and they're all just dressage riders competing for the same, you know, they're all doing the same tests and competing for the same team.
Gotcha. Okay. So what were some of the best things you saw, and what were some of the worst things?
There were lots of good things. You know, the riders are so excited to be there, which is understandable. It's a huge competition. But I have to say that, like, you know, watching people win is always very cool. It's fun to watch people win. They're always very excited. But some of the better moments were, like, I took one of our current interns with us. Her name's Caroline, and she was shooting one of the dressage rings. And a rider's dad came up to her and said, are you taking photos for sale? And we said, no, we're not selling photos. We're just shooting for a magazine. But, you know, she pointed out the official photographer, and her dad said, oh, you know, that's great. Thanks. I'm really excited to buy a photo. My daughter's qualified for the last few years, but this is the first year we could afford to send her. And so that, like, that kind of thing always just sort of gets me. It's really sweet. The people who make it there, and, you know, maybe they're not going to win, but this is a huge deal for them. And it was cool to see people come out of the ring, and, you know, maybe they're not riding the fanciest horses, and maybe, you know, their flying changes aren't the best, so they're not going to win. But they were so happy with their horses, you know, like patting their horses, and obviously just really appreciative of everything.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of work to get there. I mean, and especially if you live anywhere outside of Kentucky, it's going to be a long drive. So to and I kind of understand that, and this is on a much smaller scale, but I remember when I qualified for the American Eventing Championships, and it was like, you know, all my money went to getting there and qualifying and then getting there and traveling there. And I knew I wasn't going to do well. I knew I was in, you know, a class that was beyond me at that point. But by God, I qualified and I got there. So I understand how you feel watching those riders, because, you know, it's so cool to see those parents that are so proud and supportive.
Yeah,
now,
and
anything, anything kind of catch your eye as like, oh, that's not good.
Well, you know, they're teenagers, so there would be the occasional kid who would come out
that
of the ring.
That explains it all.
And, yeah. And she would have had, you know, three rails and been knocked out of, you know, medal contention or out of contention to qualify for the final round or something. And she would, you know, maybe snatch her horse in the mouth or just, you know, hand her horse off to a groom and storm off.
Those
are the kinds of things you don't
want to see. Are the stewards right on hand there for situations like that? Will they get after him? Or,
you know, I didn't see stewards get after any. Like, what we saw wasn't very violent. It was just sort of like, you know, an annoyance.
A mad
I didn't
teenager. Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, isn't good, obviously. But unfortunately, I think that kind of thing happens. Because when you're, you know, 16 and this is all you've been looking forward to for the whole year and it doesn't go right, I think it's hard to see past that.
Unfortunately, a lot of them become mad adults.
Yeah.
Okay, hold up. Now you're an eventer, and I'm an eventer as well. However, I did grow up doing the hunter jumpers. And, you know, not every child is like this, so all you hunter jumper people, don't get mad at me. But I, on more than one occasion, would see the child come out of the arena and go, that is it. I am selling you. I hate this horse. This is not the horse that I'm going to ride. I cannot believe that you would knock down that rail, blah, 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 when you win the flat class. So, yeah, I'm sure you're going to see quite a bit of that at the Young Rider Championships as well.
Yeah, because, you know, it's on a bigger scale. And, you know, but the thing is, like, I'm sure they're all going to look back on this and think of it fondly, even though maybe they had a couple rails and they didn't make it into the final round.
I heard they have pretty good parties for the kids, so at least remember
that. Yeah, we were there for one night for one of those parties. We didn't actually attend the party, but the press tent was right next door to the tent where the party was, and it seemed pretty raucous, so hopefully they had a good time.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
The poor kids, though, who were sleeping, and a lot of them stay at the campground, and
it didn't get
much cooler at night. So
it was pretty rough, and I felt bad for the kids from, like, Southern California, you know, the place where it's basically paradise all year round. I think they were like, oh, my gosh, what did I get into coming to this horrible Kentucky place? No offense, Glenn, I actually do love Kentucky, but it was pretty hot.
It was pretty hot, but it's been hot everywhere, not just Kentucky. So
it's true. It's pretty miserable here.
We can say that, too.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate you giving us the update, and definitely keep them coming. And next time you're at something like that, call us from the event. You know, give us a live
update.
Yeah, that
would be great. That sounds good.
Please do. So everybody check it out, crownofhorse.com. We just posted the link on our Facebook page, so everybody can go and check out the coverage from that event. And where are you going anytime soon?
I am here this weekend, and then next weekend I'm going to an event at Otter Creek, which is in Wisconsin, for the Chronicle of the Horse ATC.
Okay, cool. So any competitions coming up for you?
You know, I think I'm going to enter one here in the next couple days for the first weekend of September, so that should be very exciting.
Awesome. Well, good luck to you on that one. And I'm sending the book. We're going to compete again on the same weekend, just on different
shows. Excellent.
Probably.
We'll have to touch base afterwards.
Absolutely. Well, you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week, Lisa. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye.
And you are listening, as I said, to Horses in the Morning earlier, and I am Glenda Geek. Jamie Jennings is here today, going to be out tomorrow. Jennifer and I are going to hold down the fort tomorrow, and we are, will not be doing really bad ads. Does that answer your question?
Oh, really? I didn't even think about that. No, I got to ask a question about Jennifer posted something on Facebook, and I don't think we have an answer yet, and I'm just curious to know. She wrote, quick quiz. Which highly paid female celebrity on Glenn's list is involved in saving wild horses outside of the United States? And did you get the right answer, Jennifer?
Well, let me hit the refresh button and see. But as of moments ago, I had not. And this is unusual because usually when I put a quick quiz up, you know, our listeners get it in about 7 seconds. It takes all the fun out.
I'm confused, though, because are the horses that this celebrity is saving outside of the United States, or is the celebrity from outside of the United States?
The former. The horses are outside of the United States.
Okay.
And you had the answers so far were Oprah, Sheryl Crow, and no idea. So... Well, none of those were on my list, though. So this is the person that would have been on my top 10 list.
Was Sheryl Crow on your list?
No.
No, okay.
No.
She did not make a highly paid actress. So.
So it's got to be from Angelina Jolie, Sarah Jessica Parker, Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Cameron Diaz, Meryl Streep, Kristen Stewart. Isn't Kristen Stewart she's the Twilight Saga lady. Catherine Heigl, Julia Roberts.
I got it. Can I guess?
Yeah, but you really need a hat.
Nobody be able to win. So I guess you can't guess.
Yes,
you want people to be able to win.
Well, I would think that there's one person who does a lot of charity work outside of the United States, and it usually involves children. But this being the person that does all the outside of the United States work, I would go with that person. You know what I'm saying? Is that right?
I think
she's not giving
right
you anything
yet.
Here.
Nothing.
You're getting nothing. Hey, so Jamie will not be here tomorrow. We will not be doing really bad ads. We will do that again next week. If you've submitted your ad, we'll hold it for next week. We appreciate you sending it in. And if you have some really bad ads you want to send in, you can send them to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. And if you're looking for something to do towards the end of this month, Maryland might be a place to visit. And that would be, and I'm looking for the story here now, in Calvert County, Maryland, on August the 27th, from 10 a.m. to 6:30, they're holding the annual Calvert County Jousting Tournament. Yep, I said jousting with knights and lances and swords and stuff.
Related to the reality show that Wendy was trying out for, the Become a Knight reality show?
No, and actually she did send in her application and everything, but she hasn't heard anything. She keeps wanting me to try and call the producer, and I said, I don't really know the producer. I'm not going to be able to much help for you. I don't think he's going to listen to me. But jousting is the oldest recognized equestrian sport in the world, obviously. That goes way, way, way back to the Middle Ages. And did you know that jousting is the state sport of Maryland?
What?
That is correct. Jousting is the state sport of Maryland. And they have a huge jousting contingent in Maryland. There's hundreds of people that belong to that club. And every year they get together for this jousting tournament. And if for no other reason you are in Maryland, you might want to go just because they're having fried chicken and deviled crab. Now, yeah that does sound kind of gross, actually. So, anyway, that's the jousting tournament coming up in Calvert County, Maryland.
Okay, so this is definitely going to have to be Jennifer's new challenge, is I've got to talk to a Maryland jouster. So put that on the list, because to me, I would think, oh, we're in Maryland, I'm going to play polo, you know, or something like that. And I can't imagine that the sport of Maryland is is jousting. So let's find somebody from there and let's talk to them about what do you do? Like, you have a club meeting and you're like spearing each other? I don't get it. It's like, hey guys, I'm gonna knock you on your butt.
They do have lots of things that they do to practice without beating each other over the heads. They spear the rings. They chop watermelons at a full gallop. There's lots of different games that they play that they actually did do back in the medieval times that the knights did for practice, the trebuchets and all that stuff. So they have lots of different things that they do. So it is fun to watch. It is kind of fun to watch. And a bunch of guys out there all dressed up doing these games and then beating each other over the heads.
Cool.
I want to
learn more. Listen, Gallagher, if you want to go smash watermelons on horseback, you just go right ahead. I think that's awesome.
We loved Gallagher. We never got to one of his in person, but we loved Gallagher. I don't know whatever happened to him. Is he still alive?
Why am I not surprised that you loved Gallagher?
Oh, we loved Gallagher. We wanted to sit in the front row and get smashed with watermelon guts.
Why am I not surprised? So, do you like Carrot Top?
No, don't like Carrot Top. Love Gallagher. Gallagher still has a website. He's still doing dates.
Oh, my God.
I think he's going to be in Grenier, Kentucky. Let me see here. He's going to be in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where we used to live, Jennifer. Matter of fact, he's there tomorrow. Let's go.
So he's not on the A-list anymore.
He's going to be at the Carlisle Theater. No, when you're down to the Carlisle Theater with all of its 29 seats, you're probably not an A-lister anymore.
No.
just know that on August 21st, you can go see Gallagher in Snoqualmie, Washington. Where is that? No. Snoqualmie, Washington, or Front Royal, Virginia, or Tecumseh, Oklahoma. Wow, these are some big cities. These are some big cities. Can you imagine?
He used to play like major stadiums.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
He did.
You think he's getting too old to lift the club anymore?
I was wondering about that. How he's got to be like 100. Anyway, I'm not surprised you like him because you like the prop comedy and the guy with the puppets, Jeff Dunham. You love that guy. I think it would. I would find it challenging going to a comedy show with you because we would never agree on which one to go to. I think I watch too much Comedy Central, I guess. But you know, everybody has their own taste, and if you want to go to Snoqualmie, Washington,
oh, by the way,
Gallagher,
he's 65.
Wow.
So he's getting up there. Yeah. He's getting up there.
All right.
And I'm looking at a current picture of him, and he kind of looks like a 65-year-old Gallagher.
He couldn't have lost much more hair. Anyway, this is a tangent.
Friday. What is your Friday? See?
It is my Friday. I do want to just touch on one serious thing before we go, because I got this email from Chris yesterday of the Eventing Radio Show and looked it up today. And there's been several cases of horse abuse took place in the FEI World Reining Finals in Sweden this year. And some of these photos that they've posted are amazing. The FEI admits that there was overly aggressive use of the hands and riding horses into walls. To me, watching reining is such a beauty and an art form, and I think it takes so much fine tuning and training and light hands and just amazing riding ability that it really disappoints me that there's some people out there who are abusing it. And I guess that's true in every sport, but I'm shocked that it's in reining. I never would have thought that. So I hope that the FEI is going to follow up on this and handle it with the people that have been. The problem is they only verbally gave everybody a hard time. They just gave verbal warnings. They didn't suspend anybody or anything like that or have anybody arrested or whatever. So just so you know, there's a little bit of drama in the reining world because of this. And I really hope that the names in here, which I won't name, but there's a couple people that are named in here that have been saying, oh, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. they're really big names. So it really bothers me that this would happen in an FBI-sanctioned event and they wouldn't handle it properly. But there is a photo that is on there of them actually running the horse into a wall. Did you see this picture?
Yeah, and there was some controversy, too, that the videos were edited, and that's why the FBI couldn't do more. And, you know, to be honest, I got bored with the story about it at that point. Because it's always just, you know, I didn't do it, you did it, you know, back and forth, and then the FBI doesn't do anything. It just seems to be that's the way it happens.
Well, there's a picture of a horse being run into a wall for the sliding stop. That was enough to make me go, okay, that cannot be appropriate. So anyway, I hope the FBI takes care of it and gets the people that are abusing it. Or maybe this has been enough to stop it. But I guess there's that in every sport. And I don't know really where I was going with this whole story, but just to reading that was a little bit surprising to me.
Well, let's end on some good news.
Okay, good.
Denny Emerson's wife, May, said that Denny, remember he was in the accident in cross country over the weekend. He was in the hospital and they weren't sure whether he was going to need surgery. Well, Denny will not need neck surgery following his cross country fall. He did break his C1 vertebrae, but he was able to move immediately after the accident and did not receive any damage to his spinal cord. He is currently still in the hospital. He's got an Elizabethan collar on. He's in a halo rig.
He's in a cone of shame.
The great news is that Denny's expected to make a full recovery after 3 months, and he will be moved out of the special care section of the hospital soon. And they have not completely figured out what they're going to do with him as far as his recovery and all of that is concerned yet. It's a little too early for that. But Denny will recover, it looks like, and will be okay. So
well,
let's end on that good news.
I definitely think so. Definitely think so. And, you know, it's been a tough day for some, but I'm glad to hear that Denny's going to be okay. And I'm glad every child had such a great time. And the championships, the National Young Rider Championships. So thanks to Lisa for coming on and being a part of the show. And thank God for Jerry Barker. That's all I'm going to say.
And good job to Rochelle, and good luck over there in one of those Ania countries.
Slovakia. She's going to vet school at 41. Awesome. She's my new hero.
All right, everybody. You say your part.
Oh, are you going to reuse your new catchphrase?
I love my new catchphrase.
Everybody,
and the cool thing about it is only insiders of the show will know why I say it.
Spay, neuter, and geld. Go ahead.
See you at Peelers.